This is episode 158, recorded on May 2nd, 2014. Packard pokes at Fisher in for Palin's Beaver. Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
The makers of Sugarette candy drinks point to research showing that of the five countries where Sugarette drinks sell the most units, three of them are in the top 10 healthiest countries on Earth. Therefore, Sugarette drinks are healthy.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the Texas Sharpshooter Fallacy. You cherry-picked a data cluster to suit your argument, or found a pattern to fit a presumption.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com.
You can help support and promote the show by purchasing our merchandise at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can choose from a variety of different items like hoodies, hats, and bears. Oh my! Put a Packard Pokes At mug in your hands today.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far east coast is Joe Unseen.
Is that you, John Wayne? Is this me?
And joining us from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Megamorph! I'm awesome!
How you doing, Connie?
I'm doing good.
You must have been watching Transformers or something.
I've been known.
They're already talking about your new shirt in the chat room.
Oh, well, by the way, yes, this is a Packard Pokes At shirt you can get at cafepress.com. It's right. You can get one that has the big Packard Pokes At logo right here. So go and get one today and wear it proudly everywhere you go. Anyway, speaking...
Or you could download the logo and screen it yourself.
Yeah, you could do that, sure. And then just screw me over, sure.
I'm kidding.
You pirate.
It would be so expensive to do it that way.
Arg. I'm a pirate even from the poor.
Yeah. I rob from the poor and kick them in the teeth while I do it.
That's why I have no more teeth. They keep getting knocked out. Anyway.
I have a Packard Pokes At shirt.
Yes, you do, actually.
Mine's cooler than yours because it's maroon colored.
Ooh, yes, you got the nice one. I got the nice t-shirt one. So, anyway, we got some good stories for you tonight, so let's get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Bacteria. It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere. It's on your skin. It's on your desk. It's in the coffee cup. It's even in the Packard Pokes At coffee cup here, which is, you know, it's got bacteria on there. Even if you just washed it, it's still got bacteria on it. And the thing is, because people have been, for the last couple of years, they go, well, bacteria's everywhere. We've got to kill it. So they make all this antibacterial soaps and whatnot. And that was actually the stupidest thing we've ever actually done, because this bacteria is becoming resistant. Even stuff that was so treatable just 10, 15 years ago, like gonorrhea that's a virus and a disease, actually. But these viruses and diseases and the bacteria that we were able to treat 10 years ago or more, now it's becoming even harder to treat because of all this antibacterial stuff. And the HMO, or the World Health Organization, the WHO, no, not who? The doctor, WHO,
who?
The we're basically in a post-antibiotic era, which people are basically dying from simple infections that have been treatable for decades. And this has been a major problem. And what are we going to be able to do? Because if we just create a stronger antibacterial treatments or whatever, the bacteria evolves. And people who say evolution doesn't happen, well, you know what? This is a good example of evolution in progress. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this article is more about the overuse of antibiotics over the past several decades than so much the hand soap, but still it's causing...
just a symptom of what I was just, you know.
Right. No, but the hand soaps definitely were, I mean, I think they play part of it, but it's what's happening is it's breeding antibiotic resistant bacteria. And like you mentioned, the article talks about how we could be facing a post-antibiotic era. And while that's hard to imagine, I think humanity will survive that. I mean, as a species, we've only had antibiotics for the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it up until then without them.
Yeah.
What is unfortunate is diseases that we thought we conquered are now going to come back.
Yeah.
And so we've lost some of our progress. And we've all seen and done our small part to help bring this about. I mean, I'm guilty of not finishing a run of antibiotics here and there.
Yeah.
Because the symptoms went away. But the pills were upsetting my stomach, so I made a comfort trade-off, you know. But, you know, I'm not supposed to do that, but a lot of people do that.
Right. I've been guilty of that myself.
Yeah. I used to work with handicapped people, and I've seen doctors prescribe antibiotics for people who had coughs or runny noses. Colds are caused by viruses, not bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors knew that, but they prescribed the drugs anyway because people want an answer. They don't want to hear, well, we don't have a cure for the common cold yet, so let it run its course. So, you know, they just write the script. People go home. They take the antibiotics they don't need. And guess what? They're breeding antibiotic-resistant bacteria in mm-hmm. their own bodies because of this.
Penicillin was a big one where they would just like, oh, well, you just need a penicillin shot. Penicillin, take this for penicillin for that. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A while back, the doctors would just say, oh, we'll just give you a penicillin shot and you'll be okay. And then it doesn't really do anything except, you know, make the doctors a little extra cash.
Right. They get to charge the copay.
Right.
But I heard about this on the BBC recently, and there are people working on this problem. They are trying to develop new antibiotics that will work. But scientists are also hatching up new ideas like genetic sequencing of bacteria so they can create treatments faster than the bacteria can become resistant to. And they're also trying to find ways to disrupt the bacteria internal sequencing
mm-hmm.
to render them non-infectious. So go science, research, hope,
right.
future.
Yeah, you know, I think the best way we should do it is to let our bodies take care of this stuff naturally. This is what, you know, to a point. I mean, yeah, we need help when we
right.
need it. But I mean,
but
if you don't need
still
it,
get syphilis.
Right. Yeah. Don't get syphilis. But I mean, yeah, if you were to get syphilis or something, you know, go see the doctor. But I mean, I'm talking like the general bacteria that's like in our, around us. And someone in the chat room just said, need to eat more dirt. And it's I understand the sentiment there. It's just the fact is, you know, we just need to take care of the, if we don't over antibacterialize stuff and we just let our bodies heal naturally for, you know, little things like the common cold, for example, or, you know, if someone gets a fever or whatever, you know, just do
well,
common sense stuff.
Won't help a cold no matter what.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm looking it up around 1900, the number one killer, the number three, you know, the top three things were infectious things. There was pneumonia, influenza, TB, and gastrointestinal infections. And that's really very shocking. And I, you know, bacteria is one of the oldest first life forms to appear on Earth. They're so successful. When you talk about evolution, this is one of the kings of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, and what's bad is that, again, you know, it's people have been self-administering. I have people that I know, one of them, one I'm related to, they would go to Mexico and they'd buy penicillin, and they would just administer it to themselves. They'd come home and they'd have these vials of this stuff, and or maybe the failure of a professional to prescribe the correct dosage based on the weight and the history of the person that they're treating.
Right.
They, you know, the dosage wasn't even right, and so yeah. I'm so glad now that I had a really wise family doctor for a long time. He told me, he said, look, you look at the mucus if your child is sick, and if the mucus is green or yellow, then bring them in because they might have an infection. And
right.
he was not big on overprescribing this stuff and letting the body fight these things off themselves. So, Joe, when you were talking about they're working on trying to break down the bacteria, trying to find some way to break it down, I found a part of an article saying that there was something called an efflux inhibitor, taking it from the cell and trying to make the bacterial cells become susceptible to antibacterials. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
That sounds really cool. What I read about what they were, because I was trying to be like awesome like Connie and read other articles besides the one we're talking about, and I didn't read anything in depth that much, but I do know that they're using some kind of technique where they're trying to get inside the bacteria and try and figure out new ways to make them either susceptible to existing antibiotics or just make them non-toxic altogether.
Oh, okay. Because that's, yeah, I was trying to understand what I was reading.
Yeah. Right.
I read the page at least once, and I just like, what?
Right. I mean, they're getting to the point now where they can manipulate the DNA of things, and if right. they go into, like, you know, the DNA of bacteria and just say, hey, stop being a dick. You are now under the commandment of don't be a dick. it goes out there and intermingles with other bacteria. Like, all right, hey, guess what? We're not going to give people runny noses anymore.
That would be kind of cool.
It will no longer burn when he pees.
That in itself could be a problem because that's usually a symptom of something else, you know. So this way, if we don't have those symptoms.
It's like, okay, no more symptoms. Got it.
No more symptoms. Just kill them all.
Joe just was walking down the street. He just keeled over. What happened? Well, apparently he had a bad cold. Well, apparently, well, maybe he must not have known because there's no symptoms.
Well, we've got to do something about it because the other thing I read is that the bacteria on Earth is like 5 × 10^30 power.
Mm-hmm.
Bacteria forms a biomass that exceeds all other plants and animals on Earth. So,
wow,
they outnumber us. Shh, don't tell them.
Oh yeah,
they're trying to kill us. They're trying to kill us.
I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson recently on some show I was listening to him too. He said that this planet actually belongs to the microbes, and we just happen to share it with them.
Yes. We're the parasites actually on this planet compared to them. We're like compared.
And they've been here longer than us. They're all just like, hey, check these guys out. You know, I'm gonna go with this like runny nose here.
I had that last
week.
I'm going
to the fun parts. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Mess with the fun zone.
Right.
Look what I can make them do.
Right. Speaking of making people do things, our next story tonight. Over in China, they've actually been able to come up with something that's actually quite cool, quite cheap, and can be put up pretty much anywhere. Housing. And I'm not talking, you know, coming over, the Chinese are coming over here to build our houses. They are actually 3D printing a house. They basically take a specialized 3D printer. They spray concrete and all the waste materials, they put it inside the walls of the house. And you get this house that's about 100 feet long, 33 feet wide, 26 feet tall. And it can be built apparently on site. And the pieces just come in and they just throw them right up. And the best part is the price. Just the cost alone, just for the house, is $5,000. $5,000. In economies like today, there are people who don't have tens and twenties and $100,000 to build a house on a small piece of property. This is a great way to be able to put up cheap homes for people very quickly, and in 24 hours they can create 10 of these things. So if they can create 10 of them in just 24 hours, imagine how many people out there could be living in a house tonight. Joe, your thoughts?
The 3D printed house is nice, but how are the schools around here?
They're 3D printed too, so the teachers.
Yeah, they 3D print the schools. Yeah, they can 3D print a house, but there still isn't enough closet space. Just, you know, like it would be nice if they 3D printed a mud room also.
There you go. But,
I mean, this is neat, and it's also scary at the same time. It's neat because there is definitely a need for affordable housing in the world. I could see this coming in handy after, say, a natural disaster or during a refugee crisis.
Oh, yeah, that could be, too.
Yeah, exactly. They just bring in this machine and they're like, all right, a million people are coming over the border because of food or civil war or whatever, and they could just start printing out structures that will help house everybody. It's scary because people make a living building houses.
Yeah.
And if a robot can make 10 houses a day, what does that mean for the small home builder? You know,
yeah, I suppose.
That's a craft that goes back a long time.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the houses don't look fancy. They're
only
625 feet. They're tiny. But there was an article recently, they started doing this crazy thing in North Carolina. They actually started housing the homeless.
Oh, really?
And they found out after a year of doing that it's actually cheaper to just house the homeless than it is to pay for them to, like, spend nights in the ER for a year, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it this could be good. It could be not so
well,
good.
Well, yeah, the thing is, you kind of touched base on there where it says temporary home. And some places, you know, people who don't have a whole lot of money, they need some place to go. This would be a good starter home for somebody. I mean, this way they would have some place to go. They have some place to put their feet up and, you know, be out of the weather and everything like that. This way, and since they are so small, you can put up a lot of them in one location.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and the emergency shelters that the UN gives out, that UNICEF brings in and gives out, they're just like foily dome tents. I actually saw a demonstration of one, and you know, they're very, very cheap. They're very, very quick. They can bring them in by the pallet load, and they set them all up for you know. But if they can 3D print houses, like actual, like, these are pretty solid structures. They're made from like concrete and recycled building material.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, You could make something that's semi-permanent or permanent with this kind of technology.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then
instead of just a foil tent, which is why I brought that up.
You know, right, yeah. No, exactly. And if you want to, say, expand, you just buy another $5,000 piece and just slap it next to it and dig a hole through the wall, you know, to make sure there's no electrical wires there at the time. And just, otherwise, your life would light up in a whole other new, refreshing way.
You could get one 3D printed house and put another 3D printed house next to it as your walk-in closet.
There you go.
Because they're only 600 square feet, you know. You need some place for your sneaker collection.
There you go.
Air Jordans take up a lot of room.
Yeah, and the best part is, let's say you got a couple of kids, you put down a couple, you could put them the houses down in certain patterns, and you got one. Kid can have their own part of their house. And
Dad, I want my own house. Shut up.
That's what
you buy us a bigger yard, I'll buy you a bigger house.
That's right. What are your thoughts?
Well, the other thing I thought of when we were in our meeting, too, is like, well, you know, vacation cabin, something like that.
Sure.
This is really exciting. But the question I had was, started reading the articles, it's quick drying cement. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it was very cagey. They're not releasing what it is that the construction waste is. And so I started looking at it. It's like they're talking about you can just use the rubble from quarry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, okay, so what is the – because when you build with concrete and you build – walls with concrete or anything, you need rebar, you need some other kind of fibrous thing in there to keep things
strong,
straight. Yeah, and this was where I got worried. If this is just a single story structure and actually the pitched roof on this instead of a flat roof, that's also good for structure. I like the honeycomb walls I see there. That's kind of the, you know, when you look at the walls, it kind of looks like corrugated cardboard, and so that's good. My husband, who works in concrete, who works in construction and houses and everything, so I asked him, I said, well, what's the problem here? He said, well, you know, if they used something like graphite or fiberglass, if that was in there, that would also help the concrete to be structurally sound.
Okay.
But what they really need would be to have the walls, when they stack up and stand up, to have, you know, something like rebar in between it. If it's just a single story house, it might not be a problem. The minute you start talking about making it two stories or more, then you've got load bearing walls, and there could be a problem. The thing that really scared me was what the people here, what the developers for this want to do, is they want to build skyscrapers, and I go,
No.
I don't think so. These are really nice little houses. I think it's very exciting, but I don't think it deserves to have, you know, they better, you know, I would want to know exactly what they put into these walls before I have anything more than a one story. So,
yeah. The thing is that kind of struck me, though, because they can print so many of these so fast. I mean, 10 and 24 hours. There's an old cartoon. I love cartoons. I admit it. I'm a cartoon junkie. I used to watch cartoons when I was a kid. I still watch them today. And this old cartoon was The Jetsons. And there was this one scene that I clearly remember. They said, oh, the new building's going up. The new building's going up. They're going to tear out the old one. And they just, like, they have the little saucer car come over. And he goes, tap. And the whole building crumbles. And then they go to put up the new one. And it just literally just goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then it's just done. That was basically 3D printing the house, or the building, actually, right there, you know, in the cartoon. We had no concept of 3D printing anything at that time, and we are living almost in the Jetson era now because we can 3D print a house or a building or whatever now.
So it's prophetic.
It is. Sometimes cartoons predict way more than they think they do.
Yeah, we made it to the future, but they still can't 3D print the flying car.
Yes, I'm still waiting for the flying car. That's the only part of it. I'm still waiting for the flying car, though.
And you know, if they start 3D printing disaster relief, then we could have all sorts of conspiracy theories about 3D printed FEMA camps. Snopes.com would be going crazy.
Right.
Yes. Well, I remember 3D, there were 3D printed crematoriums. About those things. Oh, no. They said there were coffins. Remember that? About
the coffin FEMA bullshit.
Yeah.
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 Well, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
Out in Beaverton, Oregon. Remember that. The city name is called Beaverton. And
I'm moving there tomorrow.
These three women were out there, went up to City Hall. They had some kind of business with City Hall. And for some reason, they decided, you know what, let's do a little twerking at City Hall. And then they got rearrested because apparently while they were doing their twerking, they ended up exposing their genitals. And they were recording it at the time, I guess. And it just, I can't see why you would be so stupid. If you're going to do twerking, go out to the clubs where people don't give a shit. Don't do it in front of City Hall. I mean, yeah, they expose the genitals, but, you know, I kind of mixed feelings on that. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, before you can blame Miley Cyrus, keep in mind they were caught with a collection of drugs, so I blame Hunter S. Thompson.
Right, there you go.
Actually, I don't think these girls were cool enough to even know who Hunter S. Thompson is. The headline makes it sound like they were arrested for twerking, but they were actually exposing themselves, as you just mentioned. So the twerking was kind of like a thing that called attention to themselves. They didn't know anyone was watching. Then they started exposing themselves, and that's when people were like, oh, that's inappropriate, and called the cops on them.
Yeah.
And so they get pulled over a couple blocks away with all these drugs in their car.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I hope for their sake they did have a carload of drugs. I mean, they went to court to do whatever in Beaverton they do at court, renew their damn permits, and And they decided, like, hey, this is a great time to whip out our genitals.
Yep. Torvin in the chat room just said, exposing your beaver at Beaverton. The story writes itself.
It writes itself, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the drugs that the cops said they were arrested with was amphetamines. And the girl went on Facebook afterwards and was like, it wasn't amphetamines, it was Molly, damn it. Get it straight. And it's like, well, you know, Molly is MDMA, which is what, you know, the active ingredient in ecstasy, and that tests positive as a amphetamine. So yes, it's amphetamine, idiot. Yes. And you know,
apparently didn't listen to their lawyer. You know, don't admit to nothing. Don't say anything. As your lawyers usually say, don't talk about this. Oh yeah, it wasn't this. It was this. Well, idiot, you just gave away your whole case. You might as well just say, okay, cuff me now. Go right off to jail.
She admitted on social networking that she had it. And, I mean, kids these days and their silly Molly drugs. I mean, back in my day, drugs were drugs. Damn it, not a Titanic survivor.
Oh, Connie, your
thoughts. I'm retracting what I said before. Blame Miley Cyrus. It's all her fault.
Right. Blame Miley Cyrus. Connie, your thoughts.
Well, you know, can we blame them? They left home without putting on underwear and decided to twerk. I don't know. And
maybe they took it off. Maybe they decided to just took it off and then decided to twerk then. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then they also, it was public urination. The girls were urinating in the parking lot. It's like, what is
wrong with you? Well, you too, if you were that high. It's not like there's a bathroom in the car. Oh, wait, there is.
What can I say? I think everybody should have a pet and keep him on a leash because.
Yeah. Keep your. If you're going to. If you please keep your twerker,
keep it on a leash. Yes.
Remember, help control the twerking population. Have your twerker spayed or neutered.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
Did you have any other thoughts on that, Connie?
No, I'm really loving the idea of these girls being spayed. Yes, please. No, please don't reproduce. We got some real winners there. And again, why don't, and just say no to the cell phone. Say no to recording yourself. I mean, though, you're making it a hell of a lot easier for the police to do their job, I guess. So
Yes. And speaking of people having their jobs made really easy, a woman tried to sue the landlord or the lady upstairs who apparently died, or the family of the lady upstairs that died, and her body literally exploded because no one came to check on her. She died, and then you know, the body fills up with gases and it just exploded. And the juices, I suppose, the liquids from the body started seeping down.
The puree
started dripping down through the ceiling. And on the walls and everything, and she tried to basically, like I said, try to sue the family for the for compensation. But her home insurance company said, "No, we're not going to allow this as a act of any kind because we don't consider it an explosion." So that's where the lawsuit came in, and the judge said, "Hey, you know what? The insurance company's right. It's not an explosion." So she had to pay for all the cleaning, or the I think it was a lady. I don't remember which. But the person had to pay for all the cleaning and all the court costs. Double indemnity on yourself there. Joe, your thoughts.
Help, I've fallen and I might explode and liquefy. neighbor juice. Yeah, this is really gross. I mean, this just goes to show that if you have an elderly upstairs neighbor, you should probably check on them once in a while.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen them in a really long time, like, call the police and have them kick the door in.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this also gives me pause about getting State Farm renter's insurance.
Mm.
Because, you know, I'm sitting there trying to think of all the State Farm jingles. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. No, they're not. You know, I mean, you'd think damage from a neighbor unit would be covered by fire, flood, and other.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's kind of a flood. It's her body turning into liquid and flooding.
Yes. Yeah.
And what's that dripping? I don't know. What's it taste like? It's salty. It tastes like grandma.
Oh. Which reminds me, because I came up with this jingle at the meeting, so I'm just going to sing it now. Because, you know, State Farm has that, State Farm is there. It says, like a dead neighbor, State Farm ain't there.
We should take the social networking with this. Because, damn it, they should have paid. I mean, how much does, like, spray cleaning rafters and new sheetrock cost, really? I mean, it's just like, yeah. I mean, the woman had a liquefied human being dripping through her ceiling. Just pay for it.
Yes. It only cost you a couple bucks. It's not like they had to buy a whole new house. So, Connie, your thoughts.
Okay. Normally, we would talk about this in the meeting. Normally, a body, you know, it does expand and then usually it just sort of dissipates like a balloon, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't usually explode. I was going, well, how tight was her girdle? I mean, what happened? She had some dogs. And when the and after 2 weeks, when the maintenance person let himself in, the dogs were eating the woman, and so I'm blaming the dogs. I think the dogs popped. But it's just like
Grandma tastes good. Mommy tastes good. Nom 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 nom. She won't bite that little nibble.
No, if you have to buy a condo or an apartment, spring for the upper floor unit.
Yeah, it will save you from floods and so much more.
Right,
that's right.
I always hated living on the top floor, you know, because you have to carry all my shit up the stairs.
All the groceries and stuff. Yeah, I lived on the third floor of an apartment building once. I had to go up four flights of stairs to get to the third floor.
Yep. It's a pain in the ass. Connie, did you have any thoughts on this, or did I already call you on that?
Just that I'm about ready to call Ralph. Thank
you. And you know what's crazy about living that high up in a building is you don't care if it gives you a hernia, you're not making a second trip.
Right. Did you have any additional thoughts on that, Connie? Or
No. Like I said, I'm gonna Ralph.
Okay. Ralph Wiggle?
I'm gonna pray to the person in God.
Pray to the person in God. Anyway.
Use the elderly neighbor puke bags provided.
Right.
That's right. If you're going to spew in this.
Right. Speaking of spewing things, we're going to spew a little something at you right now. And we'll be back in just a few moments. And we'll just continue letting these things called words fall out of our mouths.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or packardpokesat@gmail.com. And follow the show on Twitter as @packardpokesat. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PackardPokesAt, or just type PackardPokesAt into the Facebook search bar. Call our Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixler Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at packardpokesat.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from cafepress.com/packardpokesat to support the show. For everyone that rates us, you are awesome sauce.
Well, hello there. I'm Packard Sonic. I would like to take a moment to ask you to consider taking this and donate it once a month to my show, Packard Pokesat. To do this, just go to patreon.com/PackardPokesat and subscribe. That's only a quarter a show. What else can you get for a quarter these days and get so much entertainment? In fact, the first 5 people a month that donate $50 will get a hat of your choice from cafepress.com. With a donation of $100 or more, you get a t-shirt and a hat of your choice. However, if you're feeling really generous and want to support the show and wish to donate $200, you get not only your choice of a Packard Pokesat hoodie, but a t-shirt and a hat of your choice. Even if you decide to donate just one of these a month, every little bit helps. Thank you for watching. And thank you, Joe. Damn, you do a good job on that. Who's that guy you hired to sit in the dollar bill there?
How much do I have to donate to get your suit jacket? Is that custom cut for you? Because I could probably fit into that. I think we're about the same size. I mean, I can bring up my Patreon account right now.
There you go.
Is it embroidered with the Packard Pokesat logo, or am I going to have to take it somewhere?
Oh, you probably have to take it somewhere because that one doesn't have the Packard Pokesat logo on it.
Oh, then you should give me a discount.
Yeah. Speaking of things that explode, we'll get on to our next topic for this evening. Up in Newfoundland, Newfoundland. They like to put their words together, make them squish. Newfoundland and the city of Trout River, they have a gigantic trout sitting on their front doorsteps in the ocean. Actually, it's not a trout, it's a whale. And apparently it was attacked by a bunch of killer whales. And they have another city that's not just down the coast from them, had another whale wash up on their shores. Now, the whale is... As it's dead, it's floating in the sea there, and it's getting ready to, well, they're worried about it exploding. So if you look on YouTube, you can find pictures of whales exploding and things like that. It's really disgusting. And but the thing is, they've made a tourist attraction of this whale that's ready to explode, and they say, oh, well, we want people to come down and see the whale that's sitting on the shore, and, well, it just might explode, and, well, then we just have to charge them extra for the extra excrement, you know. But it is sitting in the sea, and the water is cold there, but it's not cold enough where it's going to keep the body from decomposing, unfortunately. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's not just a whale. It's a domestic terrorist. This is why whales get randomly selected for extra screening at the airport. I mean, you just can't be too careful with them. They tend to blow up all, like you said, look at YouTube. They blow up all the frickin' time. Yes. Karn in the chat room even knew that whales blew up. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these people saying that they asked somebody, I think an oceanographer or somebody from the local fishery or whatever, what the risk of explosion was. And he said the risk of explosion is very low, but they're still telling people to stay away from it. And yep. To my ears, that means shoot road flares at it. With a crossbow. So that, you know, when it does blow up, you know. But, I mean, seriously, how many times in your life do you get to play with a whale carcass? It's a blue whale. It's like the biggest animal on the planet. It's 26 yep. meters long, and it's just laying there.
Yep.
And they're like, it's going to blow up. Oh, yeah, let's find out if it's
a gigantic bath toy at this point.
Blue whale, you're the one. You make YouTube lots of fun. You know what's really crazy is the article says this is one of three beaches up in Newfoundland that has a dead whale sitting on it.
Yeah.
There's two other dead whales. Like, you know, you could go up and down the coast with a case of road flares and a crossbow and just make a weekend of it.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, they said, well, we want to keep the whale. You know, we don't want it to blow up. We want to be able to get in there and, you know, dissect it so we can take the skeleton and, you know, put it up on our wall like it's a trophy or something. I caught this on with my special bait, and I was trying to get myself some trout, and then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I got a whale on the end. You know, that's one whale of a tail. You know, there's an old saying, all fishermen are liars except for you and me, and I'm not so sure about you.
Yeah, if I lived in Newfoundland, I would be prank calling all the taxidermists. I would just be like, all right, I'm going to need your help with this one. Do you have a truck? do you have a winch? Like, why? What do you got? A bear? A moose? No, I got a blue whale. And you can't smoke around it.
How long would it take for you to put that up on a big board for me? I just
want to. I want a red button underneath it, so when I push it, it sings a song to me.
And name it Bluey, the singing whale.
I want it to sing Under the Sea. Can you do this? Can you make this happen? Money is not an object.
Make sure the head turns like this at me, back and forth. So yeah. This way it goes next to the board, it comes out. Comes next to the board, it comes out. Oh, Connie, your thoughts.
What gets me is they're worrying, oh, well, a methane burst. And I was thinking the same thing as all you guys. You know, some future Darwin Award winners heard that and was sneaking down there and was going to try to, you know, try to light the methane.
That's why you need a crossbow.
That's right.
No, just like, there's probably already been a bunch of rednecks go down there with their fishing pole taking pictures in front of it. What do they want to do with this whale? Turn it into a family park? You know, oh, look at these kids. We can climb on the whale.
Yeah. Climb it right up on there. I'll just give you a push. Well, Mommy, it's all slippery. Oh, don't worry about that. It's natural.
You can crawl in there just like Pinocchio. Go on. We'll take a picture.
Open the whale's mouth. We'll take a picture. You stand in the whale's mouth.
Now, little Jimmy, you go ahead. You go in there and you crawl up. I want to get a picture of you coming out the blowhole. Spent a day at the beach. Yeah. Drove all the way down here. Dang it, we're going to get a picture of this thing.
Look. Grandma, I'm standing in the whale.
I'm Jonah.
How'd Jonah get in this whale? Damn, his mouth is so small.
Karn in the chat room just said the same thing. He's like, look, Mom, Jonah. Jonah's not very long. It's only like 3 pages long. You could do a full reading next to the whale just before it explodes.
What are you going to do? You're just sitting in the whale. You can't even play Pinochle or anything. I mean.
Right.
The article talked about, I think it was a whale down in Australia that blew up, and it sprayed blood and body parts all over motorists on a nearby road.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I read that, I was just like, ugh.
They tried, there's yes. even the video of them, these people, they tried to remove a whale by using, oh, well, you know what? We'll just stick some dynamite underneath it. We'll just blow it up a little bit, and it'll just come up and come straight back down.
Right.
No. Was that in Oregon?
Yes, it was. Newport.
They found whale guts a mile away.
They drew very well because they had a camera crew down there and it going, holy crap, all of a sudden whale guts and everything. The camera crew's running, you know, because my dad, when he recorded it off of TV with a VHS tape, he just sat there rewinding it.
That's awesome.
My dad.
Whale guts.
Sense of humor from him.
They should bring the Mythbusters in on this and just be like, all right, do whales really explode? And when they can't get it to explode, they'll make sure it does.
I was going to say, if you use enough dynamite, yes.
No whales were involved in harm of this production.
Oh. The whale was already harmed before the production.
Right.
Speaking of, we sent it to whale heaven.
Yes. Speaking of production, these people, these high schoolers, they tried to pull off a production of their own, but instead of, you know, getting on stage and performing for people, they decided to do what a lot of high schoolers do at their last year. They decided to pull a gigantic prank on the school, and it ended up leading to the arrest of 62 people. Apparently, they tripped off some kind of silent alarm, and police came from towns all around, like there was some kind of terrorist situation going on, and they were, like, flipping out, basically. I mean, the police were flipping out. They went in there. They had broke a few chairs, put graffiti on the walls. Silly string and balloons were throughout the whole building. They did get the school cleaned up in time for classes the next day. But, you know, the fact is, it was a prank. I mean, the graffiti, yeah, just fine them for the graffiti. But you don't have to arrest them for this. You know, it was kind of silly. Connie's also provided a link, which will be at packerpokes@wordpress.com, of other schools that have done pranks and things like that. And I haven't had a chance to look at it myself, but I've heard of a few, and my daughter just regaled us before the show of how someone stuck a deer carcass into the ventilation system.
Oh, God.
And yeah, and at her school, I could just say, you just keep it away from the lunchroom, because then, you know, You don't know what they're putting in the mystery meat.
That's so Wisconsin. You don't have dead whales laying around.
Right. We don't have dead whales around. We just use whatever we got next to us. You know, deer, raccoon.
Well, we got plenty of deer. It's Wisconsin.
It's right. We got lots of deer. There you go. Joe, your thoughts.
You got the silent alarm, right? I thought you got the silent alarm. Oops.
Yeah. Oh, you wise guy.
What? While these kids did break into their school and they did some vandalism, as you mentioned, there was a link in the Dropbox that Connie left that showed other senior pranks. And some of those other – I did look at the link. Some of the other senior pranks were like the kids went into the school and dumped hay all over the hallways, or they filled the hallways with balloons, or they filled the hallways with plastic cups filled with water.
Right.
Or they covered the lawn of the school with plastic forks stuck into the grass. You know, I mean, you know. And you know, I mean, one school, they cut the shape of a penis into the football field so it would show up on Google Earth. I mean, that's fucking brilliant. I mean, I wish I thought of that. That's fucking great. But you know, these kids, they actually got caught in the act. They were in the school after hours. They were doing stupid, they were putting grease on doorknobs and spraying silly string everywhere. But should they all suffer burglary charges now because of it? I don't think so.
They
I think
burglary would
be a little bit
stealing.
Lenient with them.
Yeah. No, if they had stolen something, then yeah, they should get a burglary charge. But they're just in there putting stuff in there. Is that reverse burglarism then?
Yeah, they were adding, not subtracting.
Right.
That's what they learned in school.
Right. Burglar equals subtraction. Pudding is donation. They should get charged with donations.
Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but when I was in school, I heard a rumor about a senior prank from many, many years ago. This might be an urban legend or whatever. I don't know. But supposedly the senior class of some school raised money to buy trees to plant on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And what they knew but nobody else knew, because the school was like, oh, that's a wonderful gift, you know, thank you. And, you know, they had a plaque like the class of 2000 whatever, and all these trees got planted. 10 years later, the trees finally matured and started dropping seeds. And when the seeds hit the ground, they crack open and emit a foul odor.
Aww.
So it took 10 years for the prank to play out. But
that's brilliant.
But they they got them.
That is brilliant. Oh. Because, you know, that's a prankster that has patience.
Right. And has an unusual knowledge of trees.
Yes. Johnny, your thoughts.
Oh my gosh, that's criminally brilliant.
Now that is brilliant.
Oh my goodness.
Your thoughts, Connie.
Oh, my turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and of the things that they did, breaking some chairs, I could see why, you know, so, and urinating the halls. It's like a couple of the kids who were doing this were just like not on board with what a prank really is. But no, there's no way. What a bunch of grumpy old people. This took place in Teaneck, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And the school has like 1,300 students.
Yeah.
Total in the school. It's a 9th through 12th grade school. I'm like, this is almost the entire senior class. It's a good chunk of the class that really they have to do this. No sense of humor.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything that they did here other than those two things that were even really considered destructive. And
right.
I don't know. I feel sorry for them. I hope that it's taken back. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Torvi in the chat room said, Jersey, how could they tell the difference with the new smell? It smells better out here. What's going on?
If people go to the link that I shared, actually one of them was really creative. They put Post-it notes up in the school,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually very artistic. It's really beautiful, and I mean that's a lot of Post-it notes.
That's a lot of Post-it notes.
A lot to take down, but it was really really neat looking. And the other one I had to give some props to was there was an issuing of a mandatory penis inspections.
What?
Mandatory penis inspections to all males Cardamon High students.
Oh, that's what they... Oh, they said that they...
That
oh.
was their prank. Yeah,
oh, that was the prank. I was going to say, what?
Yeah. So, oh, anyway.
I wonder how many guys showed up and say, I'm here for my penis inspection. Some of them may have been really eager. Hey, I'm here for my penis inspection. Yeah, baby, let me show you what I got.
We'd like to buy some athletic sip potters.
Oh, goodness.
Any last thoughts on that, Connie?
Go class of 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, we hope the best for you. Let's hopefully they'll drop all those charges.
Yes, hopefully
they
definitely will. Alrighty. Well, speaking of people who should be dropped and kicked and whatever, we're going to get...
Kicked! Kicked!
Yeah, kicked and blown up. No, I'm just kidding.
He likes that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he likes that.
He's, you know, Who are we talking about?
Well, we're going to figure that out right now. And tonight we have a little video we're going to show you, and we're going to get to that clip here right now.
This is Sarah Palin speaking at the NRA. She's gotten a lot of heat for this, but I just kind of love her spunk and love her spirit. You know, and I tweeted out a link to this little clip, and people accused me of supporting torture. Ladies and gentlemen, waterboarding is not torture. Waterboarding is not torture. You've heard that. You've been told that. But remember, when this first came to light, you had these college campuses all over America. People were doing these waterboarding demonstrations. They'd meet out in the plaza. They'd have a guy lay down on a board, and they'd waterboard. They'd put the towel over his face. They'd pour the water through the towel into his open mouth, and he'd cough, and he'd hack, and everybody would talk about how horrible this thing. That's not torture. I mean, it may not be pleasant. It may not be fun, but it's not torture. The guy's not going to die. The guy's not going to drown, and you know it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. I mean, if it was real torture, where you get pliers and pull a guy's fingernails out, or you take battery chargers up to a battery and stick them on exposed flesh, that's torture. You don't see him doing that on college campuses to demonstrate how he, because that's genuine torture. Waterboarding is not. So I think she's just being cute there. We're a Christian nation. This is a ritual. It's important to us. We know you don't. So I was just having a little bit of fun with it, supporting waterboarding. And she's been accused of being, I don't know, a heretic or flippant or whatever. I think she's being clever and funny myself, and maybe people ought to just kind of lighten up just a little bit.
Oh, lighten up. Well, first off, Brian, one, we're not a Christian nation. Two, waterboarding is a ritual? Well, then why do we waterboard you and see how much of a torture you don't think it is? It may be unpleasant, Brian, but it's not torture. We're not going to, like, pull your fingernails out or anything. Oh, this man is such a fucking lunatic. Joe, your thoughts.
Now, are we talking about Sarah Palin?
No, we're talking about Brian Fisher, who loves Palin's water torturing thing. You can, wherever you want to go with it, Joe, just take it and run.
So he was talking about Sarah Palin's comments, because mm-hmm. that's what I watched.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, she was at some conservative function, and she said that waterboarding terrorists was how we baptize them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is just, you know, crazy and outrageous. I think that they should put Sarah Palin quotes inside fortune cookies. And that way, when you finish your chow mein, you crack open a cookie and you read gems like, if you control arms, you control the people in bed. Or, put the fear of God in your enemies in bed. Or, I could see Russia from my bed. I mean, it's Duck is Doug's, like, unfortunate cookies.
Those would definitely be unfortunate cookies.
I mean, I think we've talked about it on the show before. I mean, I think it's so amazing how much of a political celebrity Sarah Palin is when she quit her job as governor of Alaska to be on a reality TV show
mm-hmm.
that didn't get renewed. I mean, she had one job. The voters put her in office, and she quit.
Yep.
She quit in her first term. She didn't even finish the term. And before that, she was just like a local mayor. So it's like, really? Really? And, you know, the fact is, like, everybody knows that she's not known for her deep thoughts or her knowledge and prowess of issues.
Well, Brian Fisher just sort of thinks he does, or thinks she does, because, you know, but of course.
Yeah, he's like talking her up there.
Yeah, he's like, I think she just was just, oh, just being cute. Oh, I suppose let's just put this another spin, Brian. Let's just say that Obama was going to say, oh, well, we're going to waterboard Republicans or whatever, because it's not torture, but he would be all over that in a heartbeat, you know.
Right. Well, maybe he should get waterboarded and decide if it's torture after that.
That's what I said,
too. Because Christopher Hitchens subjected himself to it, because he was kind of on the fence beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and then they waterboarded him. And afterwards, he was like, yeah, that is absolutely torture.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt about it. That is torture.
Yes.
Like, I felt like I was about to die.
Yeah. And that's what I said, too. I mean, he doesn't think it's torture, so we should waterboard him. Come on, Brian. Put your money where your mouth
is. He should volunteer himself.
That's
he
right.
He should say, like, okay, it's not torture, so I'm just going to do it myself.
Right.
Just like Christopher Hitchens had the nuts to stand up and do.
Right.
And, you know, I doubt Brian Fisher would ever do that.
No, he won't. No.
Brian Fisher, and he's a fuckhead.
Right. He won't put his money where his mouth is, because he's all mouth and he's no action. And, you know, Brian Fisher, prove that you're an actual human being and submit yourself to being waterboarded. I challenge you. Packard Pokesat is challenging Brian Fisher to get waterboarded to prove it's not torture. And I hope they pick that up and play it because I'm challenging you, Brian. Challenging you. Take it.
And now I've got the Brian Fisher answering machine stuck in my head.
Connie, your thoughts?
Hello, Taliban! Taliban! Been a while. We haven't said it.
Well, the problem with Sarah Palin is she's vapid and she just spouts off sound bites and has no thought or care for the fact that she is looked up to be some person as a public speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, she needs to exercise better care with what she says. She's just very flippant and I can't stand her. But as far as Brian Fisher, evidently he's taking notes from Lethal Weapon movies on how to torture people. And that bothers me a lot. I
diplomatic immunity.
What? I'm sorry, what? Go ahead. What'd you say, Joe?
I'm sorry, I said diplomatic immunity. It's just been revoked. Greatest moment.
I just want to just break in here real quick. Dawkins Dog said she was on a reality TV show when she doesn't even live in reality. So,
well, she lives near Russia. We know that.
Yeah. I can see Russia from my house. Well, she didn't actually say that. But
I did ask the question, though, have people drowned with waterboarding? Mm-hmm. And so what I found was waterboarding can cause extreme pain, dry mm-hmm. drowning, lung damage, brain damage with excessive oxygen deprivation, mm-hmm. broken bones if people struggle against the restraints, the psychological damage that can last years, and yes, death. And there's an extreme risk of sudden death due to aspiration of vomit. Drowning is a persistence of a laryngospasm. When immersed in fluid, the person effectively drowns without any sort of liquid. It's like the flap does not open up. There's a vacuum created, I guess, in the lungs. And so, yeah, people do die from this. And John McCain claimed in 2007 that the U.S. hanged Japanese soldiers for waterboarding U.S. prisoners of war. Mm. Waterboarding was evidently first used in the Spanish Inquisition. And honestly, as I looked at the list of times and places that waterboarding's been used, it's not a happy, happy, joy, joy thing. It's right. not. And it's meant as a form of torture. And the fact that Brian Fisher wants to be flippant to give his little hard-on, you know, calendar girl some kind of a pass, I go, what kind of an asshole are you? Evidently, the very, very large kind. So,
yes.
Yeah, I agree. Fisher, let's see you volunteer to be waterboarded and see how you feel about it.
Then. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, Brian, yeah. You know, the thing is, though, you said it causes brain damage. Well, that wouldn't affect Brian. He's already got brain damage.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
We can just keep that to ourselves.
Right. Torvian in the chat room said he probably pays a male prostitute to waterboard him every weekend.
One of those autoerotic asphyxiation kind of guys, huh?
Yeah. It is torture. It is torture, and it shouldn't be done.
But not if you're getting jerked off while they do it to you.
Right. Then it's a whole other story.
Right. Then it's erotic.
That's right.
Now I'm seeing Fisher in one of those black leather things, and it's just ugly.
Let's
go back to talking about exploding bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whale just blew up all over the place.
What is a sperm whale?
Poor sperm whale. Anyway, let's speaking of poor things, let's get on to the next topic for this evening. And our funny tweet tonight comes from the tweet of God. That's the word T-H-E, it's spelled T-H-E-T-W-E-E-T-O-F. G-O-D, and he says, this Twitter account is the only thing that keeps me from killing you all.
Yo, the tweet of God is so funny. That is if you don't follow the tweet of God, you're using Twitter wrong.
Yes.
so funny. I actually listened to a recent episode of Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk, and he actually interviewed the guy that runs the Tweet of God account. And Tweet of God didn't break character. He gave the interview like he was God. So Neil deGrasse Tyson was interviewing God, and he asked him all these really funny questions. And the Tweet of God was just like, well, Neil, I could call you Neil, right? But, yeah, if you go on iTunes.
Do you remember one of the questions, Do you remember one of the questions he asked?
Oh, he asked him so many good ones. Yes, he asked him, so what about the multiverses? Are really multiverses? And God responded, yes, but there's only six of them. And in each one, a cast member of Friends went on to have a career after Friends was canceled. So, you know, he said there was like a Lisa Kudrow universe, there was a Matt LeBlanc universe. So I guess we live in the Jennifer Aniston universe.
The whole universe revolves just around Jennifer Aniston. At least ours does, anyway.
The entire basis of our reality is Jennifer Aniston having a career after Friends.
Nice. Connie, your thoughts?
I don't want to live here anymore, Dan.
I don't want to live in this universe. Let's go to the other ones. Any one of the other ones. I don't care which.
I want to go to Chandler's universe.
There you go.
I love the tweet of God. He is very witty. If you haven't followed him on Twitter, it's worth it every single time.
Yes.
I wish he did it. I wish he tweeted more. So
yeah. So give him a shout.
He's a professional comedian. He used to write for The Daily Show.
Oh really? Oh
thank
well.
You.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Cool.
He lives in L.A. now. I know that because I heard him on another podcast, which I don't remember the name of, but they actually interviewed him out of character, and he talked about who he really was and everything, and I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome.
Cool. All right, well, speaking of being people on other podcasts and whatnot, let's get to our next topic for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
And tonight, we are starting something new. Once a month, we're going to do a shout-out for another podcast, and on tonight's
Fuck is a podcast?
Yeah, I was wondering what that is. It's that's the show. Wait a minute, we're a podcast.
Oh my God.
So at the beginning of every month from now on, we're going to give a shout out to another podcast and invite them to come onto the show here with us. And tonight's podcast shout out is coming from Joe, and Joe's shout out is for
No Illusions.
No Illusions. For the Scathing Atheist.
Right. On Twitter, he's at Noah, N-O-A-H, _ Lugens, Lugeons. Mm-hmm. And he does the Scathing Atheist podcast, which Packard and I have both been checking out lately. And I must say, I very quickly became a fan. I love it. Noah, along with his wife Lucinda and his friend Heath, rip apart religion and make plenty of and fart jokes.
Yeah, I get accused of being insensitive towards religion, and I'm actually quite mild. These guys, if you are, they tell rape jokes for fuck's sakes.
But they're not inappropriate ones.
No, they're not inappropriate ones. So yeah, no, but they
are off the hook though.
They are way off the hook.
They push it. It's hilarious. It's really funny.
It's actually a good podcast. And for the people who make the No Illusions, we invite Noah. We are requesting that you would like to, hopefully you would like to join us on the future show.
They make the Scathing Atheist.
Yeah,
that's the name of the podcast. Yeah, that's what you'll find if you go to iTunes and try and download it.
Yeah.
And Noah, if you're listening, I have something to say. I was your 2000th follower on Twitter. And you forgot to shout me out. And, you know, I'm fine with it. That's cool. I'm not upset. I'm not going to therapy. I'm not cutting your name into my wrist with a knife. And Packard, stop looking at my bandage. It's none of your damn business. But, yeah, totally. Like, if we at Packard Pokes That would like to extend an invite for you to come on to our show as a guest host.
Yes,
if you're free on a Friday night at 10 p.m. New York time.
Right, or 9 p.m. Central time.
Well, he lives in New York.
Right. Oh, okay, that's right.
He lives in the cool time zone.
The cool time zone. Oh, we just have the second coolest time zone.
But I have Sasquatch.
Yes, you got. But Connie's got Sasquatch. Anyway.
Yeah, but he goes by Greenwich Mean Time. That's why nobody ever sees him.
That's right. All right. Well, that's it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming. And, you know, we had a little technical glitch there towards the middle of the show, and we or towards the beginning.
I apologize. It was all my fault.
It was all Joe's fault on that one. So
I'll take a hammer to my modem as soon as we get off the show.
Right.
If you had a hammer.
And if Joe had a hammer. No. Anyway, and next week we'll be back with our short show and a new segment. But don't tell anybody. It's a secret. So. It's a secret. So.
We all have dead bodies that are just leaking air right now.
It's all the. We'll be back next week. This has been Packard Pokes That. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.